Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Clock Talk with Dr. Greg Brannon. How are you today, doctor?
Oh, fantastic, Jim. I appreciate it.
Today, we're going to talk about phthalates. So what are they, and what is going on in our world of plastics these days?
Yeah, it's interesting. When you read it, it's actually phthalates. I pronounce it too, but it's actually pronounced with the T, phthalates. Chemists will get all crazy on that. But these plastics, the question is, what's the problem with them? Why is there a concern? I'm going to draw in a second this whole thing. Then we'll go over all this kind of thing. But 470 million pounds a year are still produced in America. In 2008, and there's hundreds of different phthalates. What these are plasticizers. They make plastic flexible. Polyvinyl chloride is the most common. It's the number two plastic made, the most common phthalate made. So these are been beneficial to our society. They're inside all of our food processes, all of our packaging. They've made things so much easier to carry things around. But there's a problem is IV tubing. I can go over and over and over. Just think in your life, it's multiple things. And we're exposed to these mainly by food and inhalation. So it's in carpet, it's in vinyl flooring, PVC piping thing. That's our piping in our house to carry our water. But the concern in 2008, two major ones, I have these written down here. There's DHEP, the names are this long. There's one called DBP and BPCP. They've been banned in 2008. And the EPA is now looking at some of their alternatives, but they've not been fully studied. And I think that's probably the problem. And I don't blame the EPA. I don't blame the FDA. I don't blame any of them in the sense of you can't test everything all the time before they get out there, because we're talking thousands and thousands, not millions of different chemicals. But we start seeing things happening. Here's the thing got me on this whole thing. I used to infertility a lot when I was an OBGYN. Sperm count has decreased 1% per year since 1970 in America, 2% per year since 2002. Correlating to that, testosterone matures sperm. And testosterone has been decreasing roughly 1% to 2% per year in the same window. So the question is, why is that occurring? So I'm going to show a formula here.
So while you're doing that, we're talking about the wrapping on meat from the grocery store. We're talking about bottled water. We're talking about PVC piping. We're talking about toilet paper.
It's
literally in everything.
Tea bags.
So there's no way the average human can avoid these phthalates.
You cannot stop being exposed to them. So, and this body is really, it's made, it can thrive in great environments. It can survive in bad environments. And that's what's happening. But here's why the whole thing is this low T, because when I get over this, the T has so many more functions than just sperm production. It has to do with decreased diabetes, decreased dementia, decreased cardiovascular disease, decreased osteoporosis. All these cell types, every cell in the body, T converts to E, and in every cell in the body, they have a receptor for this. Each cell has this enzyme called aromatase, is dependent upon what the cell type needs. An example, bone needs a lot of E, so there's more of this inside of bone. Skin does not need much of this, but there's some. That's why it's so important to understand this is in every single cell. Now, here's how phthalates work. In every cell, as I said, has a receptor for that. They have this enzyme. It goes mainly to that direction called aromatase. Aromatase. Now, by strict definitions, this is a hormone. This is a metabolite of testosterone. Now, phthalates, I know it's phthalates, has three functions that destroy this. What it does is it blocks the production of testosterone, number one. Number two, it increases aromatase. Therefore, it increases endogenous E2. And E2 alpha is bad. E2 beta is bad. And the key is to get that stabilized. And the next thing it does, it actually mimics estrogen, called estrogen mimickers. So what happens is we get a hyperestrogenic state to stimulate alpha and a decreased testosterone. That's what phthalates do. And it happens in the womb, Jim. That's the big key, is it happens in the womb. And it starts from that point, and that's why the sperm presentation is going down, the sperm count's going down, the side effects of these things are occurring. So I don't want to scare people. Like you said, they're ubiquitous. They're everywhere. But we can actually try to use glass bottles again.
There's certain things, try to get packages that doesn't have that, those plastics. If you can, I understand it's hard, but it's can. But the most important thing I'd say is filtered water. If there are, copper is very expensive for piping. So you can't say go back to copper per se. But I think some of even the new plastics may not be chelated into the water environment may be beneficial. But I want to say the science behind it, that this is why it's affecting our bodies, because we're the end result of these high estrogen states.
With that said, when you say it's in the womb, describe that.
Okay, the placenta, when we're formed inside the baby, when our we're babies, sperm and egg become this human being. We're in the womb. We're developing. We get our food or nutrition or oxygen from the mother through the placenta. The placenta is filtering the mother's blood, so we get all the mother's nutrients from the blood, but it's not filtered out these forever chemicals. These plastics are there. So when you get these things messing up that system I just drew, when we'll say certain parts of the body needs a testosterone or estrogen certain amount and it's not there or it's too much estrogen, this could actually mess up the development of gonads of certain parts of the brain. So when they are developed, there's actually a less reserve in the gonads. The gonads are our testicles in men, ovaries in women. So they're set at a certain level when puberty kicks in, how much they produce. The example I've used many times, there's a study from the 1940s looking at men in America. The range of testosterone at that time was 800 to 1400. Now the range, Duke says, is 170 to 700. So the question should be, why are we lower? That's what I'm thinking, because you look at all these symptoms, could they be low T? There's a great book by Dr. Mark Richards called Nobody Wants You Healthy. He goes through the detail of each body system showing what happens when you have low T. He talks about this. He said, this is before COVID, about $2 trillion a year spent on healthcare. And 90% of that is on chronic disease processes. He breaks down clearly cardiovascular disease, osteoporosis, dementia, diabetes, and cancer. When you look at these kind of things, when you look at an optimal testosterone level, he thinks roughly 50% of chronic disease can be eliminated. Just think, diabetes alone decreased by 250%. Breast cancer by 60%. He has 400 references to books, great references to the book. So again, we're dealing with the sequelae of this. If there's a way to keep the testosterone level higher, estrogen level to proper lower levels, we may not have as much disease processes.
So the FDA, you said, banned
three of them
in 2008 and replaced them with untested
at this point. Yeah, that's called DHTE and DHEP. So their names are this long. But again, it takes a process to look. Our life expectancy, right, even is, 40, 50, 60 years in that time to study. We have gestation womb, 9 months. Who's the guinea pig? So always back, it's retrospective data to see when exposed to what happens. They actually measure in little babies, they can measure from the bottom of the perineum. There's a space in there. There's a perineum. Smaller perineum has been shown to have increased fertility associated with this as well. There's graphs on all these things. But the problem with this, Jim, again, is it's being ubiquitous. So we got to find things that we could utilize to help package our food, do the water, which they're out there. It is cost is the problem, right? So you got to balance cost and health.
And also efficiency too. It's a lot easier to ship something that's packed in plastic than it is if it's packed in glass or metal.
I'll give you an example. I'm 63. When I was in school, 19 in college, probably 79, 80, I worked at a pharmacy lab in a major hospital. And I was in the IV lab is what my job was. I had a stack IVs. They're all in glass bottles, all of them. Now, they're heavy. You move them around. Now you have an IV bag made out of plastic. Now, the IV tube has always been plastic. And we knew when we were dosing, the pharmacist was dosing it, well, say you needed 100, we'll call 100. But they put 120 in because they knew the plastic had to be coated first so that the doses stayed the same. Different than in glass bottles. So you want something that's inert. The problem is plastic's not inert. So, I'm not here to go across the board, they all got to go away, but you got to find a way to find things that are there that can be feasible, that can be cost, that not cost restrictive, that help protect your health. But that's why water is crucially important. Glass is probably the best thing for all of that.
So if you're going to balance the body out by getting that testosterone higher again, mm-hmm. and you're still being invaded by the phthalates, mm-hmm. How does that affect the body?
You're fighting this battle, right? It's like the buck of the hole in the bottom. But I do believe when you eliminate filtered water and processed food that are packaged, you have nailed a ton. Because like we all have PVC pipe in our house, most of us do. So you make sure you get a water filter. One of my favorites is Berkey water filter. They have one of the best filters in the world. So you do things like that. There's filters for your shower heads. So these are things you could do without redoing your whole house that isn't expensive. I think if you buy, say you could buy some free range beef that you could actually, you know, store yourself in the freezer. There are things like that. But like, I'll give an example for milk. The actual plastic they put in the udder is made out of PVCs. So that's when you're getting grass fed milk from a cow that's grass fed, you still have the plastic that contains it. So that's why I don't want to freak, I mean, catatonic saying, you know, you got to overrun enough in society. No, let's make the body as strong as it possibly can, eliminate the best you can with things we do. Because again, it's inhalation. So look at your house when you do your carpet, your vinyl, look for things that are wool and cotton, things like that, and try to get glass and then use water filters. But I don't want people panicking like, oh my gosh, but I believe it is a big culprit because Jim, we're talking about things that affect humans from the moment inside the womb. So it's very important.
So the 70s has started to occur, these lower testosterone rates and what have you. You know, can you pinpoint the, I know we were doing more packaging in plastic during that time, but did they change the I guess you could say the complexity or the chemical makeup of the plastics during that time?
Maybe. There's a movie, The Graduate, 1967. And when the older man's talking to Benjamin, the character in the movie, he says, you know what your future should be? Go into plastics. So like, I'm not anti. Plastics are oil byproducts. They're very, makes our life great. It's just, again, it has to do, we don't understand the sequelae of things till years down the line. You know, we've like example of low fat, high carbohydrate diet. We've seen that metabolic state. We've seen sequelae of that. That's why I think it's important to sometimes go back to the, I call it the pre-plastic era, the pre-packaging area. Get as close to the ground as we can. And I think that's a lot of benefit to that. But Greg, we died sooner back. We died. We didn't live as long. Well, technically we did. There's a great book called The 100-Year Lie about the FDA. When you eliminate dirty water, when you eliminate disease, car accidents, and this is done to the AIDS epidemic, when you eliminate those, the average American lived about 3-4 years longer. When you eliminate trauma and dirty water, that's what killed us. That's why water is, even back then, it was not because of plastics, but it was dirty water, you know, bacteria from animals. So the whole thing is that we try to get the most inner stuff we can. And we know for 6,000 years, we use silver to make things pure. We use copper. We know aluminum, mercury are bad. We know glass is good. So I think that if huge corporations start getting to that kind of stuff, I think, look at the, a lot of medicines are still in glass vials for a reason, because it's inert. That's the important part of it.
Interesting. What about a lot of people on both sides, male and female, have gotten implants over the years? And I know some people that have gotten them and suddenly develop these autoimmune things. And then when they get them taken out, you know, things go away. What's going on there? Is that this plastic thing also?
Yeah, the thing about it is I did some research on it a couple weeks ago. It might have been the silicone they thought went a leak from the plastic. But then there's a lot of results that even with the saline injections, it may be the plastic itself again. It's our immune system is very, obviously very complex. And we want to make sure that your body has acute inflammation is life-saving, but chronic inflammation is life-debilitating. Example, testosterone inhibits two of the most active cytokines there are, TNF, tumor necrosis factor, and interleukin-1. At the same time, it increases the most anti-inflammatory, interleukin-10. So our body, we talk about it many times, nothing in our body works in isolation. Nothing does. So when you talk about these kind of implant stuff, anything foreign to the body may increase the immune response, and certain people may be prone to others. Women, example. Women, because they carry babies, their estrogen actually makes their immune system not as strong. But when they do react, it's more hypersensitive because they have more of a high cytokine response. So the complexity is crucial. What I want people out of this thing is this. Clean water, glass containers, get your testosterone as optimal as you can, and balance your estrogen. Those things we could do and survive. And they're doable things. They're not overwhelming.
But there are no symptoms of, you know, thylate poisoning, for example.
Just it's hypogonadism is what it is. It's right. What it is.
Right. So I guess one can come see you if necessary, get some labs done, a consult, and see what their T levels look like.
I would love to. The Optimal Bio is the place I think we focus on that.
All right. Clock Talk with Dr. Greg Brannon. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.